There are things that come into a missionary's life that are unforgettable. When we arrived on the field in Brazil, we only had three words that we could speak in Portuguese. Amen, hallelujah, and pizza. We couldn't even say Coke, because I thought you were a drug runner. But when I went up to study the language, and we went up into the edge of the jungle, because God had called me to Brazil, my heart was broken for the Indian people of Brazil. And I wanted to take the gospel to them. But the Lord has His ways of doing things. It's like Pastor Chris said today, I had my plans, He has His plans. You know, you just ought to obey the Lord. It's best that way. I heard a little old country song one time that said, the Lord doesn't force you against His will, but He sure makes you willing to go. After He shakes the stuffings out of you, you go. That's right. Look what He did to Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go, but he went. Amen. But when I got into the first service there, we walked in and a dog fight in front of me. He even bit me in my leg, one of them. I shouldn't try to shoo a dog away when he's in a fight. But I got in there and they started singing songs like you sang tonight. In another language. The music was the same. The language was completely different. And all I could do was cry. Because I thought of that verse of Scripture, they of another language will praise Thy name. And they were doing it. It's an experience that I had that I'll never forget. Some of them I wish I could forget, but that's one of them that I remember real well. So we have been, since 1973, with Baptist International Missions. I pastored the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Suffolk, Virginia, for 2 years, from 1968 to 1970. And I had gone to Virginia Bible College. And I had 2.5 years of Bible college under my belt. But then God called me from there to Bob Jones University. So I had to put in three more years. So I squeezed 4 years of college into 5.5. But the Lord took us from there and led us to BIMI, Baptist International Missions. By the way, I was just there. They stand for the King James Bible. They stand with standards for the ladies and the men, dress standards. They have scriptural standards for us. We must sign that we're still with them every 3 months. I'm so glad that I went with that mission board. Along the way, we picked up a good friend called Bruce Martin. He was in school with me back there in Virginia Bible College. We had the same professors. One of our professors went from New York. He was humorous. He was talking about incompetent Christians the class before. And then I walked in his classroom in the morning. And on the board was written, great big letters, consecrated incompetence is still incompetence. And I said, that guy's crazy. Because it is still incompetent. We have to be competent in what we do. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. I never in my life was a mechanic. But in my first term of mission service, I took the engine of the car apart, piece by piece, changed the rings and the bearings, put them back in the car, and didn't have one part left over. It's because I took a little notebook and I lettered every piece as I took it off and set it in the corner. And I had to go around the building, all around my property with the parts, 100 and some parts. And I said, okay, here we are. Now what? We start over here at the last one, we head back. And I got all through with it, and I forgot one little thing. When you change rings in an automobile, you have to put oil on the piston sleeve. I didn't. So we had to pull the car with another one about 10 miles, I guess. Finally, it started, and it never gave us a bit of trouble. How about that? I worked on a farm. I drove a tractor when I was 9 years old. I did all that, but I had no idea what went on inside that thing. So the Lord blessed me with that. He had me work as a carpenter in the Navy for a number of years. I never knew that I would be a bricklayer. I never knew that I would be a plumber. I did know that I'd be those people that clean up everything? Janitor, yeah. My wife helped me out with that. But we went on, and I learned to put in electricity, water, sewage, build the buildings from the ground up, put in the foundation, reinforce concrete with steel bars, rebar, I guess you call it here. If I go off and I can't remember a thing, I'll say it in Portuguese. You just have to guess what it is. Because all these years, I haven't really gotten used to the English language. You people talk funny. You park on a driveway, and you drive on a parkway. They can't understand that. That's right. They don't understand why some up there in the jungle, they didn't understand why you took a Kleenex out and cleaned your nose and put it in your pocket. What are they saving it for? They just honk and then, hey, how you doing? Not me, Doc. But I've been there and done that. But you know, if you don't have a sense of humor, become a missionary, you'll soon be back home. I've laughed at what they laughed at me, because I have made some real good ones. It's kind of hard when you're praying and you want to tell people to throw their sins away and become a son of God. And what you've told them is throw your pants away and become the son of a turtle. It's kind of difficult when your wife is in the store telling everybody in the store that all the clothes in the United States are made of lettuce. She just went. But they have mother-in-law jokes. I don't like them. I had a good mother-in-law. I had a good mother-in-law because she gave me a good wife. Amen? This guy that there, he's telling me, a Brazilian telling me that this guy met another one on the street and said, you look just like my mother-in-law. He said, I think you want to fight with me. What are you talking about? I don't know you. He said, yeah, but I'm impressed. You look just like my mother-in-law. You take the mustache away and you're just like her. And he said, I don't have a mustache. He said, I know, she does. Enough of that. Amen. But Bruce and Vera, thank you for coming all this way down to see us. It's a pleasure. His, what is it, uncle? Joby Martin has produced that those little DVDs, Creatures That Defy Evolution. Have you ever seen those? They have those. You can talk to him later. He's the guy with the beard, the shorter beard. This guy got the bigger one. This is Santa Claus, and he's Santa Claus over there. So there we are. But he did a good job on those things, all these creatures that defy evolution. And he gives a clear-cut gospel message during his presentation of that DVD. It's amazing. I'd like to speak with you tonight on the subject, Mine Eye Affecteth My Heart. What we see affects us. In Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 51, says, Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my people, my city. We went to Brazil. When I got the language study done, I got in a bus and traveled around, got to this city called Sertãozinho. It's kind of strange they did that. Sertãozinho is really not the right kind of word to use. Sertão means big, and Inho means little. So it's a little big. But it did get big. We went there, 37,000 people. They have 120,000 people in that city now. We have one gospel preaching church in that city. That's the Independent Baptist Church, Sertãozinho. They are starting, while I was gone this time, they're beginning to start another one in another place in the city. I hope that thing takes off because it is mammoth, that city. We went to the next city, we had 15,000 people. They have over 35,000 people there now. The one gospel preaching church. That's Bahia. One we just finished. Put the building up just now. I did something that George Mueller kind of influenced me on doing, was to build a church from the ground up, from the foundation, holes in the ground, all the way up, and finish it without asking another human being for help. No one. No churches. No one. My wife knew that I never asked anybody. I was tempted, but I didn't. But you know something? God met every need every time we needed it. And in 2000, in year 2013, with the economy in the tank, God put a church building up, and we have people saved there every week. That's something amazing. He does things that we can't imagine. I've seen that with my own eyes. I know that it affected my heart. It made me see that God is God. Let Him be God. Let Him guide you wherever you need to go. Listen, there's young people here that need to give your lives to Christ. There's grandfathers and fathers here that need to let them. Amen? One of the biggest hindrances of young people giving their heart to Christ is the one behind that says, no, not my son. No, not my son. I would rather my son be a poor missionary, having nothing but a place to live in amongst a group of people that are needy, with nothing to look back on, no retirement, no nothing, than to have my son be a millionaire and spend his life doing absolutely nothing for God. One time a missionary was asked if he ever feared about being a failure in his work. He said, no, what I feared the most is becoming a success in something that doesn't really matter. Think about that. When we give the Word of God out, and I hand Bibles out down there occasionally, It's the only book we can give away that the author goes with it. Amen? So we do that work. But Jeremiah was brokenhearted over his people. They had turned their back on God. And he said, mine eye affecteth my heart. Someone has declared the eyes to be the gateway to the heart. What we see definitely affects us. In Genesis 3, Eve lifted up her eyes in disobedience, then lifted up her hand to take of the forbidden fruit. I love what one of my pastor friends, in a meeting he was preaching, he said, Satan used a woman by herself to cause all mankind to fall. God used a woman by herself to save all mankind. Amen? Think about it. In Genesis 10:4, Lot lifted up his eyes in lust to look upon the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. He finally went to live there, and he went to his downfall. In Genesis 13, Abraham was told to lift up his eyes by faith, and he became the heir of all the land of Canaan's blessings. Your eye definitely affects your heart. In Isaiah 6, we can look over there. Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Twain, if those of you don't know what twain is, it's two. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. No one sees God spiritually without having an effect on his life. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send, and who will go for me? Then said I, here am I, send me. Definitely changed that prophet. One of the best prophets. I love to read in Isaiah. But he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw himself in the situation he was in. He saw his filthy mouth. He saw his filthiness, but he compared himself with that wondrous, pure Lord of hosts that he saw sitting upon the throne in heaven. The throne is a picture of judgment. But you know, I'm so glad that there was an altar there, because that's the place of purification, of forgiveness of sin. I am condemned in myself, but saved through the blood of the Lamb. Wonderful. The Lord was high and lifted up. A definite change took place in his life. Then we look back to Job. Job, he had all these things. Job was the richest man you could ever think of. He had money on top of his money. He had riches that no one could have probably possibly thought about. But Job was tested by God. Tempted by Satan, tested by God. God doesn't tempt anybody. And Job went through the testing. He lost his children, he lost his camels, he lost his donkeys. For me, that wouldn't have been a great loss, but anyway. He lost all of his cattle. Then he lost his children. That would have been tragic. And then he had a wife that was real helpful with him. Why don't you curse to God and die? She was real helpful in that need. But God got back at her. She had 10 other children. Amen. The Bible said he had 10 more kids. Amen. Watch your mouth, ladies. Amen. But Job, when he came to the end of himself and he was trying to figure out all this stuff, the Bible said that the Lord turned the captivity of Job. The Bible says here in Job 1 to 5, 42, 1 to 5, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. How many of us are like that? Run our mouth when we shouldn't. My aunt had a little ditty she used to quote all the time. I did it again today. I must be in a rut. I missed an opportunity to keep my big mouth shut. Here I beseech thee, he says to the Lord, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. His eyes definitely affected his heart. He was a changed man after that meeting. Thank God for that. In Acts chapter 11, I'm kind of a fast preacher. You have to hang on to your seat. Acts chapter 11, verse 19, beginning. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great multitude, a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Listen to this this verse. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. And exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Have you seen the grace of God? I've seen the grace of God. I've preached the gospel there in Brazil. I saw three bars close their doors. Well, that can't happen in this day and time. They did. When I went in there and I looked the guy right in the eye, had an old derelict sitting on this bar stool, and I said, how many do you think you've created since you were on this bar? How long have you been here? He said, 32 years. I said, how many do you think you've created like this? And I pointed my finger right in his face, and I said, God's going to hold you responsible for every one of them. Oh, Pastor, you wouldn't do that. I walked by there about a month and a half later. The door was down. I said, what happened? The owner sold the bar. About 2 or 3 months later, I was walking down the sidewalk downtown, and I heard a voice call, Pastor, come here. And I looked over there, and that's the guy, the former owner of that bar. He said, I've opened an ice cream parlor. You can come here and look. I don't even have a bottle of beer in here. Don't tell me the gospel doesn't clean up things. It works. You just have to be brave enough to step up and say, this is the way the Word of God says. Let the Word of God have its way. It can do a whole lot more than you can. I like what one preacher said. He said, God wants to put his stamp upon you because it looks a lot better than you do. Amen. But he looked and he saw the grace of God. Listen, I could give you a list of people who I've seen the grace of God work on. One of them, Marcus Paulinho, a man 68 years old when he got converted. He hated Christians all of his life. Said he never saw a real one. Always taking the money from the people. hoodwinking them, playing around with them. But I came into the area with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I held Jesus up high, and I made sure that my life was a testimony to him. Went out to the farm where he lived. He said, he'll never come out here. It's dusty. It's wicked out here. You can't. It's awful. It's that red type of Georgia clay that sticks on you, and then you can't get it off with a razor blade and a scrub brush. But I had a white Bilina, white Ford pickup. What is it called, that thing? Station wagon. And I went out there, and that dust was flying all over that thing. And he saw that white spot coming across that land, cloud of dust behind me, in front of me. It got to him. He said, I'm going to try to find out what he's talking about. Came to the service, got saved. I found out that he only had 25% of his lung power. He had TB. Ugh, TB. Yeah. What'd you do to him? I hugged him. Amen. Snotty nosed kids in the next town over. We opened the door. They come and snot all over him. And I had a white shirt on. I'd hold them up, and they'd just dribble that stuff all over me. And they'd go, yeah, terrible stuff. I said, that washes. It washes. I wasn't worried about washing my shirt. I was worried about Jesus washing their hearts. Amen. You have to become a little bit, lose some of your pride. Ew, terrible. Had a lady saved, she made coffee, and she never washed a cup. Little cup like that, I went in there to get a cup of coffee, and had lipstick stains on this one, had stains, probably tobacco on the other, and all that. She handed that to me, and I looked at it and drank it. Never batted an eye. I went out, and I said, praise Lord, praise you, Lord. Please let this thing not bother me. I saw her raised up out of a sick bed, ready to die. God healed her. And I could talk about Claudia, Jair, Reynaldo, Mark, Macias, a whole bunch of them, but I don't have time. We had a young boy come to our church, our fourth church, named Kadu. He had a long telescope neck. I don't know what you call that. It looked like a giraffe. His little head was sitting up on top of that, and his neck was real long. And he came over there, and I thought he was the weirdest looking thing I've ever seen. But the little boy came to church, came to Sunday school, listened to the stories and got saved. Little Kadu. Because of this ailment he had here, he had a problem with asthma. He was in every service, young people. He was in every service. He came when he was sick. He came when he wasn't sick. And he was sick a lot. I got a call one afternoon, said Kadu's died. Couldn't believe it. Went over, and they buried the same day. Went over there that afternoon. That little body, 13 years old. Skin smooth as silk. Little black boy named Kadu. Finally got his name. His name was Carlos Eduardo. They call him Kadu. Before he died that afternoon, the afternoon before he died, he cried to the pastor and said, I'm in the hospital. I don't want to be here. I want to be in Sunday school with you. Because of his life, short as it was with us, his father got saved, his mother got saved, his two sisters got saved. Testimony. I've seen the grace of God, and I'm glad. I'm glad. Mine eye affected my heart. Lastly, we look at Matthew chapter 9, This is a familiar passage. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. What he saw moved his heart, changed his heart, affected his heart. Because they fainted, and as sheep they were scattered abroad, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what's wrong with that prayer that he asked you to pray? A lot of people don't want to pray it for fear that God will say, I want you. I want you. You know, it's not a fearful thing to serve the Lord. Safety is not in the absence of danger. Safety is in the presence of Jesus. If he's there, what matters? If he's there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. You sing that song? If you sing it, don't tell a lie. Don't sing a lie. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go everywhere, anywhere. Anywhere. There's 47 cities around me that have not one clear presentation of the gospel. Within 2 hours' drive, I can reach 47 cities. I've got one mission group. We're trying to do that. We need more workers. The laborers are few, Jesus said. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Could you see yourself going down into a town like that? Bolivia, Brazil, Argentina, over in the Europe. Going into a town and seeing those people in their sin, knowing that you have the only answer that can take them to heaven. There was a medic that came to Colonial Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, and he told the story of being a medic during the Vietnam conflict. And he had to go out and he had to treat the people that were shot up, cut to pieces. And before he went, his instructor said, when you go out there and you know for a certainty that that man there is wounded unto death, you know he's going to die. Don't look into his eyes. Because if you ever look into his eyes, you'll never leave him. And folks, I've been in Brazil for 41 years. I've looked in the eyes of a dying nation. And I can't leave them. Why do you go back? I've looked in the eyes of a dying nation. And I can't go. I can't stay. I'm 72 years old at 28th of this month. But I went up to help another missionary who was starting a church when he was 82. So that gives me courage. Maybe I'll have 10 more years. But our mission group of missionaries is growing older and older and older. The recent conference I was in, the youngest missionary that was there had 20 years of service. 20 years of service. Listen, God is calling. He, make no mistake, he's calling. Would you answer? Yes, to Jesus. I don't know what God wants with my life, but I sure want to know. Is that your question in your heart? I would like to be right in the dead center of God's will. If that's your desire, I'd like you to come tonight and just stand there and say, Lord, here I am. Wherever you send me, wherever you go, I want to go with you.